I invite you to remain standing as we hear reading of God's Word from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Please be seated. Words are powerful. I don't take much stock in the old nursery rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never harm me." Words are powerful. With them we declare war or announce peace. We bestow names of honor or insult. We share beauty and wonder or despair and darkness. We give blessing with words or we curse. But the scriptures tell us that there is one word that stands above all other words. One word that makes all others insignificant. One word that transcends every earthly power and every authority or principality that would stand, has stood, or could ever stand. And this word is no mere combination of letters on a page. It's not a poem to be memorized. It's not a magic spell to be spoken. This word, the word that the scriptures speak of, is more than a mere idea. The word is a person. Person of Jesus Christ, a real man, a real God, truly man, truly God, God made man, come to earth to visit his people. And in him, the one through whom all things were made, the one in whom all things hold together, the one whose word of power formed and fashioned all that can be seen and even what cannot be seen. This word is the one who's come to reveal God to us and restore us to God. He is the light of the world, the revelation of God to man, giving us not just a description, not just a metaphor, but the perfect picture, the perfect representation of God to us, because he himself is God. And he is life. The life that was breathed into the world and breathed into man, that the source of all being and goodness, and the source of everlasting life, against which not even death has power. And so as the Apostle John introduces his gospel, to tell us about who Jesus is and what it is Jesus has done and what it is we are to believe about him and how that is to shape and affect our lives, he focuses in this introduction on this, that Jesus, the Word, God become man, came to reveal God to us and to restore us to God. He is the light of the world. He is everlasting life. And so when John says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, he is reminding us that Jesus, in his coming, is coming for a purpose, to do battle against darkness. The darkness here is not merely the absence of light, for this darkness is trying to overcome the very light of God. It is doing battle against the light and truth of the Creator. But Jesus has come, and his light shines forth, and the darkness cannot overcome it. In this way, the Word, our Lord Jesus, reveals God to us. Words do this. They reveal truth. I remember finding out for the first time why there's a U-shape at the bottom of the plumbing under the sink. I always thought that was just there to catch your ring if you dropped it down the disposal, but it's not. There's a little bit of water there that blocks all the harmful gases from coming into your house and doing harm to you. And it just revolutionized my whole view of plumbing. Made everything make sense. And so when we live in a world full of lies, where we can't even decide what is true or fake news, what true facts even are, when we live in a world where you can twist anything and everything to say whatever it is you want it to mean or hope it could mean or wish it would mean, when we live in a world that has been so inundated with the lies of the devil from the very beginning, it could be easy to become overcome with that darkness, with that lack of understanding, with that despairing future of never knowing if what you know really even is, if it really even matters, if it's really even true. But Jesus comes and shines forth with light. Light against which no lie has power, no darkness can overcome. The light that radiates from God himself, who in the beginning said, "Let there be light," and there was. The God who sent prophet after prophet, even now we read in this passage about John the Baptist, not the same John that wrote this book, who came before Jesus to testify about him. He is coming, the promised one of the Lord, the light of the world, the one who will baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. And he stood and last in a long line of prophetic voices where God throughout the ages sent his people to speak words of truth and light to all who had ears to hear them. And even those who beheld Jesus had the opportunity to see the very glory of God. The glory of God that would appear throughout history to attest to the truth and the power of what was happening. Moses did not merely walk down the mountain with a couple of tablets with commandments he made up. No, the glory of God descended upon Mount Sinai with such power that the people were afraid to even approach. The people didn't decide on their own to build a tabernacle, to set the Ark of the Covenant in the middle and concoct an entire system of worship around it. No, God instructed them to do this, and when they had finished it, descended upon it in his glory, as if to say, "Here is my dwelling place. All that I have said is true, and I will make my home with you. You will be my people, and I will be your God." And now, in Jesus, we see God truly, God who is light, in whom there is no darkness at all, who is all perfection and righteousness and holiness and beauty in the coming of the Lord Jesus. Though no one has ever seen God, the one who is God, who is at the Father's side, his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, he has made him known. And so, if you have ever found yourself wondering, who am I? Why am I here? What is this all about? How do I survive these noxious fumes that keep invading my house and life and being? How do I sort out what is true and what is false? How do I even know what my life is supposed to be for? You can't know apart from the light revealed in Christ, from the truth revealed in Christ. It is in him and through him that all things were made, including you and me. And he has designated and given you your purpose, calling all who have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe to glorify and enjoy him now and forever. And he comes, cutting through all the lies, all the falsehoods, all the confusion, all the toxicity, and he shines forth with an invitation to know God. But he doesn't simply tell us who God is. The Word, our Lord Jesus, also restores us to God. We read here in John that he was in the world. The whole world was made through him. We even were created in his image, and yet the world did not know him. The world did not recognize him. When the God of the universe, the one who made all things, showed up, walked on our streets, we didn't know who he was. We are alienated from our Creator. We don't really know who he is. We philosophize. We wonder. We pursue money or sex or power or things that we think will bring us comfort and life and peace. Things that we elevate even to the status of godhood. All the while, the one who made us, the one who made all things, the one who always has been, always will be, we stand alienated from him. We did not recognize him even when he showed up, even when his light shined. But words have great power. You can imagine the incredible relief it is to hear the judge's pardon to restore you to life out there and not in prison. Or to have one with whom you have just been on the outs come to you with words of forgiveness and knowing that from that point on you don't have to stand separated but reunited and together, afresh and anew, walking in life and peace. How much more does the Word, God made flesh, bring power to restore us to the God we can't recognize, the God we can't see? Well, the path we're on is self-evident. We have chosen a way of life that leads to death. This is not how God made the world. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And all things were made through him. And without him, not anything was made that was made. And he made it all very good and wondrous and glorious and full of life. In him was that life. That life was the light of men. But we chose instead to listen to lies. We chose instead to live for our own ends. We chose instead to be our own gods. And that is the way that leads to death. But the one who is the source of all life, who made all things that are alive, is able even to bring new life. We see that it says in verse 12, to all who receive him, who merely believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God, to become born anew, to be given a new life that cannot end, a life that not even death can conquer. And not merely a new life for all eternity, but a new life for all eternity with him. For we read that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt there is literally the word for tabernacle. That same Old Testament sign and foreshadowing of God's presence among his people. Where the glory of God descended to ratify, this is where I will make my earthly abode. Well, that was just a sign, a type, a symbol of the true tabernacle, the Lord Jesus, who would come and dwell among us. Not waiting for us to get our act together, not seeking us out, not waiting for us to seek him out, not putting upon us this responsibility to suddenly move from being blind to having sight, from moving from being dead to having life. No, he came to us with light and with life, bringing everything necessary to restore us to God forever, to bear in himself the guilt of every sin, the shame of every evil deed, the penalty for all wickedness, that in him we might find forgiveness and a life now and forever. And so it's in Jesus, the Word, God made man, that we see God revealed to us with power and clarity, to see a God who is eternally true, eternally righteous, eternally strong, and eternally gracious, seeking and saving the lost, and a God who is full of life and who is able to give that life even to those who are dead. A life that cannot end, will not end. A life that has connection to the source of all life and all light, God himself. And so John uses this imagery of light and life to teach us a lot throughout his book. But don't miss the point he's making. It's not just the imagery. It's a person. Jesus Christ is not a story, a figment of imagination. He is not a mere idea or philosophy. He is historically, truly, and everlastingly God. And he is the key for you to know and experience your Creator rightly. And not because you deserve it, not because you can earn it, and not because somehow you need to find the power in yourself to do it, but because he has the power, he has the life, and he gives it freely to all who come to him in faith. For all who believe in Jesus, God adopts them as his very own, and he gives them his eternal light and life. And this is the message of Christmas. Not simply a story about a child laid in a manger, but the reality that God has come to seek out and save his people from the darkness and from death. And you can never truly see, and you can never truly live until you learn to see and live in Jesus. Do you know him? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would shine your light with power upon us tonight and give us eyes to see, even afresh and anew, what it means to know God But not merely that, Lord, give us life. Restore in us many who are downtrodden and beaten down and full of despair and hopelessness. Restore in us the life of Christ. That gift of everlasting life, that we might not live in fear, but in confidence that not only do we know God, but we live in and with Him now and forever. Make that so, we pray. In the name of Christ, amen.